In this episode, we talk about 14 tips of how to get better at fixing the music. Back in a moment.
Strike up the band so you can give your kids a helping hand. From interviews to teaching tips, you'll add this to your bag of tricks. There's no smarter way to spend your time, so keep it right here with James Devine. The Music Ed Podcast, where you get quick and easy tips on how to be a better band teacher.
Fixing the music and making it better. How do we do this, and how do we get better at doing this? I'm going to start, first of all, with an acronym that I learned when I was in the Army band. I found this acronym to be very helpful, and I actually teach it to my student leaders for marching band and sectional time. And that acronym is DIAC, D-I-A-C. It stands for Detect, Isolate, Analyze, Correct. And the students seem to understand this process really well. Detect. Almost everybody who's ever played an instrument can understand this thing. You realize that something is wrong. You might not know what it is yet, but you know that something doesn't quite sound right. Even my wife, who has no musical training at all, can do this first step. Then you isolate it. Was it the clarinets? Was it the trumpets? Was it the percussion? Was it at letter A? And you go back and you maybe listen to that again. You analyze it. The analysis process is, was it a player error? Sometimes a player can think that they're playing the right note. For example, they think a B flat is second valve on trumpet when it's actually first valve. Then that's a player error. But it could also be wrong in the music. Maybe in the second part it's listed as a B natural, and in the first part's a B flat. So you're analyzing what it is that's wrong. Sometimes it's their instrument, the key is stuck. And so they're pushing the right keys on their saxophone, but the G sharp key is stuck. That's something that happens frequently. And then the last step in that DIAC process is correct. Correct the problem, go back and listen to it again and see if the problem has eliminated itself. Another tip is to step off the podium and walk around. Don't be so nailed to the podium that you feel like you have to do everything from there. Sometimes I get the students started playing and I'll go and sit down next to a section in the middle of the band and I listen from there, and I'm really amazed at some things that I hear that I don't normally hear. I also have my room set up to make it easy to walk around. I have an aisle going down the middle. I have the rows spread out fairly wide from each other, and I prohibit any cases from being placed there so that I can walk around. And this also helps with classroom discipline things also. You can also record, listen back, and then create a punch list. I find this very helpful, especially before a break, either a 3 or 4 day weekend or right before spring break, and I want to help myself make my plans for coming back. I'll record the groups, listen back, and then I can usually pick out 15 things in the recording that we need to work on. This has been said a million times before, and it's something I still don't do enough of, but I hardly did any of it in my early days of teaching, and that is score study. You can often see what is going to happen and anticipate some possible problems just by studying the score and looking at the rhythms, or looking at the keys, or looking at how the different parts interact. As you gain experience, you'll be able to tell some of the problems that will be coming up. Play in a group. And while you're playing in the group, analyze what the conductor does. There's so many things I've learned by playing in a group. Sometimes if I'm sitting in the back, the conductor doesn't speak loud enough. And I think, is this why my percussionist misbehave? I don't talk loud enough. Sometimes I see how a conductor will waste rehearsal time by not being organized themselves. And I get antsy in those rehearsals also. So you can learn what to do by seeing both good and bad conductors in a group that you're a part of. Think about, what am I not hearing? We often focus on what we do hear, but sometimes we don't focus enough on what we're not hearing. In my classes, this often comes in the third clarinet and in the third trumpet. And even though I have a greater number of students on those instruments, there are times where I'm ready to tell the first trumpet player, hey, back it off. We're not getting the pyramid sound that we need. We're getting a very treble sound. And then when I actually think about it, it's not because the first trumpet player is playing too loudly, but because the thirds and the seconds aren't playing loud enough. And if I can get them playing louder. So think about, what am I not hearing? Break it down into chunks. Think about the rhythm, the bass, the melody, even individuals within the melody. This is something that the longer I've taught, the more I'm learning to dig deep. And despite the fact that some students are embarrassed to play by themselves, you have to listen to them individually. If you have a staccato section of eighth notes in the clarinets, for example, it can sound pretty good. And you're thinking, okay, everyone's getting the staccato concept down pretty well. And then you have the first player play, and it's perfect, and it's exactly like what you want to hear. And the second player plays, and it's perfect, exactly like you want to hear. And the third player plays, and it's longer than what you would like it to be. And the fourth player plays, and maybe that one's perfect. And the fifth player is playing it almost legato. But when you hear it overall, you're hearing a nice staccato sound, and that sounds pretty good. And then you fix that third and fifth player who aren't quite matching that first player. And then you have the whole section do it again, and it's just gone from good to outstanding. So it can make a big difference when you break it down into chunks. Also, sometimes if the rhythmic people aren't together, then that's going to throw off the melody. Or if the melody people aren't together, it'll throw off the rhythmic people. So isolating those chunks. One of the best tips that has worked for me is having guest clinicians come in. And there are so many resources available. I know here in our state, the Colorado Bandmasters Association will actually help you find someone who will come in for free and work with your group. I have learned a ton from these guest clinicians. You can also have the local university director often has a day each week where they go and visit schools, and just reach out to them and invite them to come. You will learn so much. You will start to develop a relationship with that college, and you'll find even that many of your students will start looking at the possibility of going there. I've been really fortunate with Colorado State University Pueblo with Dr. Mills. He's been in and helped me be a better teacher. He's helped my students be better musicians. And now a lot of my students are attending his college. This is the area I've learned a lot from. If you have $100 to invest, this is what I would invest it in if you have nothing else. Listen to some great groups. You can do this at your state conference. You can go to Midwest. I encourage everybody to have a chance to go to Midwest if at all possible. The Dr. Holden, who was my teacher at Virginia State University many, many years ago, he said that no matter where you go, there are people who are going to be better than you and people that you're going to be better than. So don't go and compare yourself to these groups that you're hearing at these conferences, but look at what they're doing and think about how you can take your group to the next level. It's not something to beat yourself up over, but just to help take you to the next level. This next tip reminds me of a director I had when I was in the Army band. He had a unique rehearsal style. He might start at letter U of a piece and go from U to the end. And then he wouldn't offer any feedback or anything. And then we would start at letter T, and we would go from T to the end. And then we would go from S, start at S, and go from S to the end. It was a very annoying rehearsal procedure because we were just repeating this over and over, and we knew it wasn't going to be over until we went to the beginning and went all the way to the end. But he was on the right track with something. There are so many times in rehearsal, it's just easy to start at the beginning. It makes sense to start at the beginning. But if we're not having any trouble at the beginning and letter M is where our trouble is, then start the rehearsal at letter M. Work on the trouble spot, work on it for 5 or 10 minutes, and then put it in context. Start at letter L and maybe go to N. And then that way you can put the the problem back into the context of the music. So don't always start at the beginning. Go right to the trouble spots. Recording your students really helps a lot. I try to record every third Friday, and I have the state evaluation sheet for large group expanded, and it's on my wall with a plastic coating. And so we evaluate ourselves. Sometimes I actually hand out the forms to the kids and they fill this out and turn it in. And then I get writing samples. So a lot of states are asking for writing samples. And sometimes we just do the big one in the front of the room and I'll just take a vote. Who thought we had a one in tone? Who thought we had a two? And then I kind of go with the consensus and we talk about ways to improve. Next step. Tone is king. So many times we're working on fixing the fingerings, the rhythms, and we have a student whose tone just really stinks. Focus on getting the best, purest tone that you can. And this can be accomplished with doing breathing exercises every day, doing long tones every day. The longer that I teach, the more I find myself spending on these fundamentals of what we do. I have a block schedule now, so classes meet for 90 minutes every other day. I find myself spending 30, sometimes 40 minutes just working on the fundamentals, scales, tone, air support, crescendos, decrescendos, chorales. These are things that really help with tone. Use chorales for warms up for warm-ups. The best chorales that I have found is this chorale called the Function Chorales, and it's about 25 chorales written in soprano, alto, tenor, bass, but they're written with numbers instead of written out. So you actually have, with the 12 keys, you actually have 300 different chorales out of that 25. These I find to be very effective in helping us with our tuning when we have a song that's in a different key. I also do what I call a key of the 2 weeks. And so for 2 weeks, we focus on one key in our warm-ups. We play scales, we play thirds, we play chorales, we play major seven, dominant seven. We do all sorts of exercises in that key for that 2 weeks. But chorales is a good thing to use for that. It gets you better at fixing the music, even though it's not totally related to the music. Also, when you look at the music, when you're doing your score study, think what will probably go wrong. This is something that's gained by experience, especially now when I pull out a song that I've done for several years in band. I can look through and I can see some areas that potentially will have problems because they've had problems in the past, or as I've come to know my students, I know that maybe my low brass players are weaker in a certain area, or maybe my third clarinets are weaker, and so there are areas that I can anticipate and know that something will go wrong. I hope that these 14 tips have helped you and that you will have fun in incorporating them to get better at fixing the music.
The Music Ed Podcast, where you get quick and easy tips for how to be a better band teacher.